I want to remind you of the gospel I preached you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, and if you hold... By this gospel you are saved, and if you hold firmly to the word I preached you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and at last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and by his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed.
How's that? That's better. Okay, so we're pausing again this morning to remind ourselves of the significance of the resurrection. And when you think about important events in history, various things might come to mind, and we sort of get a bit of a picture in our minds as to what were the most significant events in history. If you were looking out towards the eastern horizon last night, you would have seen a great big moonrise. Great big full moon, and perhaps the moon landing might be one of those things that jumps to mind as one of the great, great events of human history. You might have other things in mind, some of the great technological advances that have been made and so on. But the message of the Bible and the message of the gospel is that the center point of history, of the human story, is the resurrection of Jesus. And we want to look at that this morning and reflect on the fact that it is the center point of history. There was a German chancellor named Konrad Adenauer who lived through both of the world wars and was in Germany during the rise and fall of the Third Reich. And he made the comment after the world wars, talking to Billy Graham, that if Jesus Christ hasn't risen from the dead, then there is not one glimmer of hope for the human race. When I leave office, I'm going to spend the rest of my life studying and writing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the most important event in human history. I think he was a man that was qualified to make that statement because he'd seen some of the most turbulent events in human history right around him. And to comment that without the resurrection, mankind's got no hope whatsoever. No hope whatsoever. So a few things we want to see this morning. Firstly, that it is central. That on Friday we're reminded that in spite of all the evil events that were going on during the trial and the crucifixion of Jesus, even things that appear to be out of control and random, we see that God has a plan and he's weaving that plan through the circumstances to bring his plan to completion. And later on, when Jesus appears to his followers after he rises in Luke 24, he goes on and explains that to them. He says, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And so Jesus points out to his followers that the real story of human history is the story that God's been authoring all along. Through the law and the prophets, through the story of the Bible, the scriptures, it all leads to this. And it's what we're looking at here is what really matters. Paul, when he was in Athens, was in Acts 17, was going around the city And he confronted the people of Athens about all the idols in the city. And he went to this place, this kind of a public forum where you could voice your opinions, like an ancient equivalent of Q&A, I reckon it would have been, a place called the Areopagus. And he confronts the people of Athens there and he says, I've been walking around your city and I see there's idols everywhere. You're worshipping idols of every shape and form. But it's unnecessary. There's only one God. He's the God who made the world. You can't serve him by human hands. He doesn't need you, necessarily. He created life. He has made all the nations from one man. He's appointed where they're going to live and what they're going to do. And God did this so that you would reach out to him. He wants a relationship with you, and he wants you to reach out to him. And then he goes on to say, therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image like an idol made by human skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. And he has set a day when he would judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. So according to the scriptures, the resurrection is the ultimate point in human history. That God creates man, man rebels against God, and sin enters the world. And yet God works through the story of mankind to bring about his rescue mission, the cross, and then the resurrection. Death defeated and a future hope. The scriptures tell us that the resurrection is the ultimate point in human history. When we understand that, the Bible makes sense. Without it, the Bible is just a collection of stories. Now, it's just another book with some interesting literature. Without the resurrection, it doesn't have much at all. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The story of the message of the resurrection is central to everything. The other thing we need to be reminded of is that it's real, that it was a real event. And it's easy for us to, there's plenty of argument to the contrary, that it's not a real event, that it was imagined, that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. He lives in your hearts, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of all just a spiritual thing. But we need to know that the resurrection was a real event, that the reality of the resurrection is central to the Christian faith. And in the passage Jesse read, Paul says that it's of first importance and must be recognized as such. And he says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That he appeared to Peter and then the 12, and then after that to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom who are still living, although some have passed on. And Paul goes on to explain that if this had not happened, faith would be meaningless. If it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some people say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses, for we've testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. If the dead are not raised, then Christ hasn't been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Paul's saying the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection, is central to the Christian faith, and without it, there is no faith. We'd be better off doing something else this morning. There is no faith without it. We would still be bound by sin and hopeless. The reality of the resurrection is challenged, of course, at many quarters, and you don't have to look far to find skepticism. But as we read here in the passage, there were witnesses. There were many of them. And as Tim shared with us at the beginning, that's some of the most compelling evidence for the resurrection, the lives of the apostles themselves. And that was a really good quote, Tim, from Chuck Colson on that, about those guys involved in Watergate, 12 of them. They couldn't live with a lie for only a very short space of time. If the apostles had been living with a lie, they did a very good job of hanging on to it for a long time. Because we see that these people went from scared, confused people to people who boldly changed the world. And the Bible's very honest. One of the things about the Bible is very honest in its portrayal of people and their characters. They're real people. You can see that when you read about them. And you think, for example, of Peter, who just, you know, a couple of days before is denying Jesus in the courtyard. And some weeks later, he's standing in front of massive crowds. And he's facing the same authorities that crucified Jesus. And he's boldly proclaiming the gospel fearlessly. I mean, what brings about that kind of a change? And as Tim said before, one of the most powerful pieces of evidence is that almost all of the apostles, all of the 12, died for their faith. They died believing. Now, we think people die for a cause all the time, soldiers and so on. If these guys knew it was a lie, why would they die for it? And Peter, Andrew, Bartholomew, Philip, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon were all crucified for their faith. The others died by the sword and spear and so on. Almost all of them were killed for their faith. These were all men who went from frightened followers, including the skeptic Thomas. These are all people who went from frightened followers to brave servants who would willingly lay down their lives for the Lord, because they saw the reality of the resurrection. We have peace and security because of the resurrection. And Paul, in that passage we read, said, "I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand." Every week when we come together, we want to remind each other of the gospel, but especially today, this center point. Because of the resurrection, we can have peace with God. We can have peace with God. And in that passage in Luke where Jesus appears to his apostles, it says, "While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" The Lord appears amongst them. He appears amongst them and says, "Peace be with you." Because up to this point, they're confused and they're anxious and they're uncertain and they don't know what's going on. And Jesus immediately quells their fears. He doesn't jump down their throats. He doesn't chastise them for their lack of faith and for losing their nerve when he was arrested and running away. He says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Everything's okay. Everything's okay now. Because of what's happened, the world is now a very different place. Be at peace. You can now have peace with God. There is now hope for mankind. You have a bright future." Notice the apostles, when they write, most of their letters start with "grace and peace be to you." Grace and peace be with you. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit, and it springs from that understanding that out of the resurrection of the Lord, we have the brightest of futures. Peace is ours in light of the resurrection. Grace is ours because of the resurrection. Paul, in his account that we read there earlier, says, I am the least of the apostles, and I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. We can have peace because of the resurrection. "Peace be with you," says Jesus. We have peace. The world's now a very different place in light of the resurrection. The resurrection is more than just an interesting event. It's something more than something just a little bit different, some unusual thing that happened. The scriptures tell us that it is the center point of history. That life, the life that we know, only makes sense. The story of mankind only makes sense with an understanding of the resurrection. The story of the Bible only makes sense in light of the resurrection. Our faith only has any meaning because of the resurrection. Without it, we are still dead in our sins. The resurrection was a real event. Jesus really died and was really made alive again. It was a physical reality. Peace is yours. Peace be with you this morning. Grace is yours. Relationship with God is yours. Relationship with God is ours because of the resurrection. Paul says, "His grace to me was not without effect." And Paul and the apostles, because of the resurrection of the Lord, were people who were once frightened, once intimidated, and then went on to boldly change the world because of the reality that they'd witnessed. And I pray this morning that we would be the same. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for what today represents, and we're reminded of the grace and the peace that are ours because of your rising from the dead. Thank you, Lord, that because of it we can have relationship with you. Thank you that because of it we can know the peace and security that come from only through a relationship with you. And we pray, Lord, that in light of that resurrection knowledge and understanding of where we stand before you now, that we might, like the apostles of old, be challenged to boldly change the world around us with that knowledge that we have that freedom in you. And we thank you, Lord, for this day, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.